Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Mother's Little Alibi by Lydia Constantine is a personal memoir and the first installment in the Out of Mother's Shadow series, set primarily in mid-20th century America. It recounts the author's early years in the 1940s and 1950s and focuses on how a child's inner world can be shaped by what adults hide, deny, or normalize. Public descriptions emphasize four generations of family history marked by love and loyalty, but also by instability, illness, addiction, poverty, infidelity, and secrecy. The book's purpose is not to present a therapeutic program or an investigative expose, but to offer an honest narrative of childhood lived under pressure, including the need to navigate conflicting parental demands and keep a family secret. It also highlights the contrast between a small town that appears innocent on the surface and the private dangers a vulnerable child can face. Through its reflective storytelling, the memoir invites readers to reconsider how well anyone can truly know what a child is carrying emotionally. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, family secrecy and the burden placed on a child. A central thread in Mother's Little Alibi is the way secrecy reorganizes family life and quietly recruits a child into adult problems. In the book's descriptions, the author is pushed into a role where she must protect one parent while withholding information from the other, effectively learning that safety depends on what she does not say. That dynamic matters because it reframes childhood from a time of guidance to a time of vigilance. Instead of being helped to interpret confusing events, the child is taught to manage impressions, anticipate reactions, and keep the household stable through silence. The memoir treats this not as a single dramatic twist, but as an environment that shapes decision-making and identity. It also raises an implicit moral question for readers when adults enlist children as confidants or cover stories. The child pays the psychological cost. By centering the lived experience of maintaining a family secret, the narrative highlights how loyalty can be demanded without protection, and how a child's sense of normal can become calibrated around concealment. Secondly, small-town innocence versus private danger. The memoir is set among small-town characters in an era often remembered as simpler or safer, yet its premise challenges that nostalgia. Public summaries of the book stress the contrast between a community that looks mostly innocent and the very real dangers that can exist for a child within that setting. This tension works on two levels. Socially, small towns can amplify scrutiny and rumor, making reputation management feel urgent and making secrecy even more entrenched. Privately, the same closeness can hide harm in plain sight when people assume that familiar faces are trustworthy. By writing from the viewpoint of a child who must read situations quickly, the author emphasizes that danger is not always loud or obvious. It can be embedded in routine, relationships, and adult choices that outsiders cannot see. The result is a portrait of place as both a support network and a pressure cooker, where community charm coexists with risks that remain unspoken. Thirdly, addiction and instability as background forces. Mother's Little Alibi presents a family history spanning multiple generations in which addiction and instability are recurring forces rather than isolated episodes. Available descriptions reference alcoholism and other forms of family dysfunction alongside shifts between wealth and poverty, suggesting a household shaped by unpredictability. In a memoir focused on early life, those conditions matter less as diagnostic labels and more as daily weather mood changes, unreliable caregiving, and the constant need to adapt. The author's account foregrounds how such instability pushes a child toward premature self-reliance. When adults are inconsistent, children often become hyper-aware of signals, learning to anticipate conflict and minimize it, even at the expense of their own needs. The memoir also treats addiction as intertwined with other pressures, including family conflict and secrecy, rather than as a single explanation for everything that happens. That layer view helps readers understand how harmful patterns can persist across time, even while moments of love and attachment remain present. Fourthly, illness, isolation, and early vulnerability. Public book descriptions note that the author experienced significant illness early in life, including a period of isolation at around age 5. In a childhood memoir, that kind of event often becomes more than a medical memory. It can set a template for how safety and separation are felt in the body. Isolation during formative years can intensify fear, heighten dependence on adult decisions, and create lasting impressions about whether help arrives reliably. Within the broader narrative of moving homes due to family illness and coping with precarious circumstances, early illness functions as a signal that stability can vanish without warning. It also sharpens the book's focus on vulnerability. A child does not control where she lives, who protects her, or what explanations she receives. By including these experiences as part of the memoir's foundation, the author underscores that hardship is not only the result of overt conflict. It can also come from being physically cut off, misunderstood, we're left to interpret frightening changes alone. Lastly, resilience and becoming street smart too soon. One of the memoir's most visible claims is that the author became street smart at a young age in order to defend herself and preserve family secrets. Rather than portraying resilience as a motivational slogan, the narrative frames it as a practical adaptation to risk. Street smarts here mean learning how to read adults, recognize danger early, and make quick choices in situations where guidance is absent or untrustworthy. The memoir also points to how that competence can be double-edged. It can keep a child alive and functioning, yet it can also narrow childhood into constant assessment and self-protection. By describing resilience in close proximity to fear and near tragedy, the book resists sentimentalizing survival. It invites readers to appreciate strength while also seeing what it costs. That balance is part of why the story resonates with memoir readers. It acknowledges that endurance often begins as necessity, and only later becomes a source of identity and meaning. In conclusion, Mother's Little Alibi is best suited for readers drawn to candid memoirs about complicated families, mother-daughter tension, and the long shadows cast by addiction, secrecy, and instability. It may especially resonate with those interested in mid-20th century Americana, because it challenges idealized memories of the period by showing how danger can exist beneath ordinary routines and familiar faces. The book's intellectual value lies in how it prompts readers to think about childhood as an inner life that adults frequently misread. Its practical value is empathetic. It helps readers recognize how children can be pulled into adult conflicts, forced to keep secrets, and pushed into self-protection before they have the language to describe what is happening, compared with broadly similar survival memoirs. Its distinguishing angle is its emphasis on small-town social texture and multi-generational family contrasts, including shifts between love and betrayal and between security and poverty. The memoir also positions itself as the beginning of a longer arc, offering an origin story of how the author learned to navigate risk and identity while living out of a parent's shadow. If you would like to support Lydia Constantine, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.